Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Right. I feel like Helen. On my
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Jeff Thomas, Lucy V. Freeman and Matt Rodriguez Payne. Now, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
Well, it was another one of those weeks where I kept thinking I'd missed a day, as everything exciting that happened without anyone with a microphone being present, which was a little disappointing. And the very many unconvincing PlayStation sessions were poor recompense, frankly. We began the week at the church, where the entire congregation was gathered around the church door trying to squint through the scrubbing marks to read what had been written on it. It turned out that Henry was the culprit, but we only found that out after Lee and Helen told each other not to tell Henry about the church door in front of Henry. Have they not figured out yet that A, they're not very good at whispering, B, whispering is rude, and C, it all gets so much worse when they don't talk to him. It's been years now and they still haven't got it. The upshot was an understanding chat with Alan, which was interrupted by Helen continually. She probably thinks that God would actually be much happier talking to her and not Alan. She just hasn't got the time to take his calls at the moment, but she'll probably add it to the list. Be God's emissary on earth, clean fridge racks. Pat rang her and Helen answered the phone with, "Oh, I'm glad you called. Can you do me a favour?" "I'm going to try that next time someone rings me. Don't let them say anything, or God forbid ask you to do something. Just get in quick with what you want. It definitely beats me answering the phone with, 'Hello, sorry, have I not done that yet? Sorry.'" Lee spent the week trailing round after Helen saying, "Have I done something wrong?" until he finally snapped and told her what she'd been doing wrong, which is what we've all been saying for months, and then ruined it by apologising and taking them all on what he whimsically referred to as a super family fun day. Or Super Fun Family Day, I can't remember which turned out to be a hike. No, that is not super family fun. I mean, it's great if you're my age and you take a flask of tea and a dog. But if you're Jack's age, you'll start whinging about wanting marshmallows when you can still see the car park. You'll get something in your welly or develop some baffling medical complaint halfway round. Eddie tried to persuade Clary that turkeys are attractive when everyone knows they look like a scrotum with a beak. And on that note, we crossed once more to Ian, who was wandering around Gay Grables, wondering where all the contractors had gone and moaning that someone he referred to as Addle was also missing. Everyone kept asking Oliver what was going on. Oliver just kept saying, "I don't know," and pottering off to buy cinnamon buns until it slowly dawned on him that Addle had, to all intents and purposes, vamoosed and that the whole launch was stuffed. Eddie tried to cheer Oliver up by describing him as one of the smartest men he knew. But considering the other men he knows are Terry Two Phones and Rodent Ronnie, who isn't even called Ronnie and it turns out doesn't know anything about rodents, that's not saying much. Oliver said, "Yes, you're right. I shall take decisive action. Cancelled the launch event and sold Grange Farm." So as inspirational talks go, it wasn't Eddie's greatest as he's now a homeless unless they all move in with the guinea pigs. We did, however, get to hear Linda describing Robert's hazelnut and boiled egg curry, which personally I could have well done without. "His own invention," Linda said proudly, as if anyone else would own up to that particular culinary nightmare. While Linda and Oliver were rummaging through Adil's knicker drawer, we popped back to Helen's kitchen, where Lee's trainers were simmering gently on the radiator, and Helen was simmering gently everywhere else. Lee has been made to feel so unwelcome in that house, he's trying to eradicate his own scent pattern. And yes, Helen, he does spray deodorant over himself, which is a good thing. He has a busy working day, bending old people and karate chopping children, and a bit of bracken paste, or whatever it was, is not going to cut it. Links Africa all the way, even if it does make your nose bleed. "Oh, sorry, I'm oversharing," said Helen to Ian, who was lapping all this up. "Oh, you can't overshare with a friend," he said, conveniently forgetting that last week he was oversharing with the entire village about her cheating at the flour and produce. It wasn't flour and produce, was it? It was the Worcestershire Food Awards. Anyway, we missed Pip. telling Jill about her newfound sexuality, which was annoying, as although Jill was clearly taking the piss about pronouns, I bet she faked a hearing problem just to make Pip shout, "Lesbian!" "You're what, dear? A Libyan? Estelle a Libyan too? What, a permanent Libyan, or is this just a phase, like when you said you wanted to be a synchronised swimmer, dear?" So I lost the chance to hear Hootie frothing at the mouth, which I'd been looking forward to, and Pip and Stella lost the chance of going to the Gay Grables ball looking like security at a regional nightclub, which they'd been looking forward to. So Kenton's got his way and reinstated the bonfire night, and we can choose between two guys to top off the bonfire, Rob or Ardil. Decisions, decisions. The end.
That's so funny, Lucy. The end. Bye-bye. Thank you. That's all I needed to hear today. That's so funny. It was. I really enjoyed the week, though, even though, as you said, it was a bit like... and it closed with the credits. And it was a bit like then there was another episode in another parallel universe that we didn't get to hear.
Yes, exactly.
So there was definitely two halves, and one half we definitely heard, and the other, I don't know where that was played out, but... not to us.
Yeah.
But
no,
in
exactly.
a way, I didn't mind that. Because
maybe it was on Radio 4 Extra or something.
Yeah, yeah. They've clearly done something secret and not told us. But, or maybe they've got Patreons now.
Yes. Didn't you hear it? It's on something else. Anyway, let's not talk about that.
But I didn't mind because it did speed the drama a lot. Like, I did think, oh God, because you could tell it was Henry who'd done the graffiti once he'd gone, "Who would do that?"
Yes. Lee? What do you mean, prison?
Not the police.
Silly little earth, honestly.
But so then I was like, and I thought, oh God, I really hope this doesn't drag out like the who bombed the post box.
No. I can't cope with it.
So it was good, but it was so funny when Helen, like, I mean, I consider Henry a smart kid, but the fact he left a massive aerosol can in his PE shorts and then gave them to his mum to
watch. Is that an aerosol can, or are you just pleased to do PE?
It was so funny that when she just went, "Oh my God, hang on, Mum, I've just found an aerosol can in Henry's shorts."
And it was because you can't have Pat quacking on the end because there's no Pat. Yeah. It was a very one-sided conversation, which was basically, you know...
What is this in his pocket?
"Hello, Mum, can you do something for me? Because I'm going out and I want you to do something for me. Yes, everything's fine. Oh, no, it isn't. I've just found this. Anyway, bye." And that was it. And it was like, can you imagine Pat at the end going, "No, but can I don't... No, she's gone.
Oh, my God. It's so funny. And because I listen, you know, I quite often listen on 1.25 speed.
Yes.
Just because if my week is busy. If you listen to Ian on with Ian ranting and talking about boiling knives and chaos on 1.25.
Knives on fire or whatever it was.
It's an incredible experience. It's so fast and loud and painful and really hurtful for the ears, but also quite exciting. So I recommend listening to Ian's rants.
It was a bit of an emotional roller coaster all week this week.
Because
we sort of end at one point, I thought, oh, maybe this is just one of the usual. Oh, well, you know, we're never going to do this, Linda. Yes, we will. We just need to all pull together. And then it's all going to work. And then, oh, no, it's going to... So let's buy tickets. It's cancelled. Oh, okay. So but
again, it felt like we'd skipped three episodes. Yeah. Because it was... Pip had put her order in.
Yeah.
Booked in her suit.
The money had just left her account.
And then it
was winging its way back to her again.
Yes, in one episode. I thought that was a bit strange, actually. And also, I didn't feel like... I think they must have done a bit of cutting, because when Oliver said, so we've, you know, no choice but to cancel the opening night, and Linda went, are you sure? But she didn't go, oh, no, all this hard work. Yeah. So it felt like they'd missed a scene where Oliver had prepared her for the fact that they might have to cancel.
Because she was still telling everybody what a marvellous experience it was going to be.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden they weren't. And then
But she didn't seem that bothered.
No.
Oh, well, there'll still
or not
be a
surprised.
Bonfire.
Yeah, exactly. Not surprised.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a bit odd. But I think they had done quite a lot of chopping this week.
I get the impression it's like they've got like 20 scenes and they just go, you know, that one and 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 that one. Right, let's put them all together and see what happens, you know.
I don't mind, though, because if you cut the fluff, it's great. Mm. I'm all for just hearing the quickly getting on with the drama.
Yes, but I really wanted to hear Pip telling Jill.
I know, that is unfair. Even to have told us that that happened and to not have let us hear it is,
I mean, Rosie's fair enough. Because Rosie, because all you'd hear is a sort of, Rosie, turn off CBeebies for a minute. And then, you know, they'd tell her and then she'd go, hey! And then that would be that.
You know, but, you know. CBeebies programme that you love with the two mummies? Yes, no, is it? No, it was a shame not to hear Jill. Yeah, because that was funny, wasn't it? When, you know, Jill, it would have been funny asking, hearing Jill ask Pip if they is a they now.
Yeah.
But then it made me think, I really hope we will hear Jill again.
Yes, I was hoping that was a not enough cast members thing and not a...
Yeah.
You
yes.
Know, yeah.
Or maybe an awkward scene. I mean, it's funnier in the telling, perhaps, or maybe it's... Is it too controversial? I don't know. But it's not really. It's just an old... It's just hearing Jill's surprise, I suppose. Because no one else in the village has raised an eyebrow
except
at all.
Except she'd obviously been primed, so it wasn't a surprise because Stella said, oh, she's been doing her homework because she'd talked about primers.
Oh, right,
and things.
Yeah. So maybe David was... had a talk to her about J.K. Rowling or something, or, you know, I don't know.
But I'd have loved to have heard...
What
Ruth,
is the rules?
Ruth bristling away at perceived slights. Actually, Jill, she needs our support and da-da-da-da-da, you know. And,
actually,
and,
yeah. I think you'll find the proper term for that is actually... I did know it. Hang on one second. But I worried about Jill not being there. And then I worried
Robert.
In all the... Yes, because was it David last week who predicted that maybe Robert is going to die because they'd been talking about him? And I thought, no, of course not. But then this week...
But that lovely scene where she was talking about...
But it was like he had died. Well, I mean, he has died in real life, but Linda spoke about it and you could tell that she was connecting to what had really happened. So I thought, oh my God, this.
But they tend to kind of start talking about people, you know, in a sort of a eulogistic way, don't they? Before something happens, and
well, especially because we won't hear Robert before, you know, before he die, before the character dies.
Mm.
But it was sweet, wasn't it? I thought actually Pip and Linda as well. Yeah. Pip was so sweet. She didn't overdo it at all with her sort of, you know, if it had been me playing that role of Pip, I would just be like, oh my God, no, she's cute. Oh, I love that Linda. But she was just like, she was just so, so subtle, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But do you think, I mean, I think Pip and Stella are moving fast. For...
Well, it's what all our lesbian correspondents have said. Lesbian relationships move really, really quickly. It's a truism. Like they say, what does a lesbian bring on the second date?
Yes,
a removal van. And you know, I think that is that is sort of the truth. And Stella is kind of the one putting the brakes on and going, no, hang on a minute, lady, let's calm down.
Because that's the thing, isn't it? She wouldn't just. I mean, I do think it must be difficult. However much you love someone else's kid and think they're great, doesn't mean you want to be their stepmom. And if you move in with somebody, that surely becomes your role. And then suddenly you're Lee and look at Lee and what he's had to sacrifice. Yeah. And then after all that hard work and investment he's put in, she wants to chuck him out now.
Well, we had all the different aspects, didn't we? We had Linda saying how much, because she couldn't have her own children, how much she was sort of overwhelmed and then came to love the role of stepmother, and Ruth being worried, and I always do that, Pip being worried about Stella suddenly finding herself taking on a child.
Yes,
if that goes ahead.
I'm glad Pip acknowledged that.
Yeah, and Lee wondering why the hell he bothered, I think. But anyway.
But also, I mean, the thing about, I loved it. I mean, I think we all loved the fact that he finally shouted at her and thank God. And as you said, if only he hadn't apologised, because she is, I know she's under so much pressure, and it's really hard, isn't it? Because we've all been there when you resent a partner because they have, you know, their socks are everywhere, or they're not pulling their weight, or, you know, or they're, because, you know, when you're so consumed in your own life, someone who's not acting perfectly quite frankly, is quite annoying.
Well, you get irrationally annoyed at absolutely everything.
Yes,
so
exactly.
A living, breathing person that's stomping around,
Getting
in the way.
Even.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. But actually, when he shouted at her, I just thought, come on, Helen. Like, I mean, it's just so difficult though, isn't it? Because I thought he behaved so much better with Henry than she did.
Yes, absolutely. I was thinking if they separate, I hope that the children go and live with Lee, quite
me
frankly,
too.
Because he's much better with them than she is.
I mean, when Kirsty was saying, oh, I think maybe you and Lee need some therapy, I was like, No, Helen, you need family therapy. Mm. And if you're like, oh, Henry, I can't believe that you were so disrespectful and you wrote something so offensive. It's like, and then she was like, I don't even know how he could have gone and got that aerosol can. Well, then you really, really need to do some work on on poor Henry. I mean, if there aren't enough signs, but the whole way, she hasn't done anything about it. All she's done is gone, don't worry, let's just forget about him. It's fine. But it's not fine.
I'm coping. Damaged. I'm doing it. Yeah.
It's awful. And she's like, "What, oh, Lee, why should it be all about you?" Well, because at the moment, Helen, it's all about you. Mm. And and of course, you were the one that went through the trauma. But your kids, you're much more emotionally developed than your children. So you really, God, Lee was, and Alan was so loving to Henry, and she was just actually a bit of a cold bitch, I thought.
Yeah, I'll just sit here on this bench and watch you while you do it.
I thought you could
just go and help him, couldn't you? I mean, I know you're making a point, but there's no softness,
Something about the way she said that as well really got to me. I thought Alan would have been a bit like, okay, you just sit there. I'll go and help Henry water and chat to him about Paul and Goldilocks. And I loved Alan talking. I know it's sort of a bit of a, you know, sentimental sort of Christian stuff, but it's lovely because when, you know, and he just talks about it from a very human point of view, doesn't he?
And
he's so BBC.
There were some really acute psychological things, though, like when Lee was shouting at Helen or talking to Helen, and Henry leapt to her defence and said, don't talk to my mum like that. Don't shout at my mum. And that's a huge thing for children that have been in abusive relationships.
Right.
They have this hypervigilance around aggression or whatever, and it just all starts off in their cortisol levels rocket up, and they're right there to sort of, you know, smash at somebody in the face, which frequently goes wrong for them because they don't. That's why she was saying to him, no, this is normal, because he hasn't seen normal arguing where you make up later. Arguing that ends incredibly badly.
And they have for their whole relationship, they've never really argued, have they?
Because it's all big, gritty. Like this.
Because even that argument, obviously when Lee was really going for it, I was thinking, I mean, that is it's a massive argument for them, but that would be standard in my house. I mean, that's a sort of every 3 days type of row, which is fine. I love those. I love the let rip ones. But I guess if you're not used to it, and it might be quite scary.
Well, you catastrophize it. You think this is the end of the world, you know.
But I think she's being mean because, I mean, I just think, you know, sort of basically saying to Kirsty, I think I'm going to have to end it, is such a selfish thing to do when her children, I mean, she's just not thinking of the kids. And of course, you can't stay with someone because of the kids. But when you're in, this is very special circumstances, isn't it? You've surely got to get through this.
Emotionally stunted, Helen. There is something that has not developed in her ability to genuinely connect with people. Because did you hear that, you know, last week's What the Hell Was Happening Here? No, the week before's last What the Hell Was Happening Here, when she was saying to Ian, he said, you asked me my opinion and I'm telling you. And she said, I don't want to hear it. Everybody with her is on such a, nobody's got any, you can't be complacent in a relationship with Helen because she'll jettison you. She'll chuck you as quick as blinking. She doesn't think about it because it doesn't really mean very much to her to have people on her site. Kirsty's the only one that survived.
Yes. And Kirsty's really the only person who can say what she thinks to Helen. Everyone else is a little bit scared, aren't they?
Yeah, but then she ignores it anyway. So it's no point Kirsty saying anything.
Yeah. Yeah, because Helen would be outrageous to go, do you know what, Lee, actually I'm a bit bored of you because you're a bit immature and annoying.
And you use deodorant.
And you use deodorant. And it's not organic. I mean, come on, sorry, but I've tried all those organic deodorants and they do not stop.
No.
They don't stop. If you're an active person like Lee, I love it when she was like, well, I can't remember her turn of phrase when she said.
He's active, I think.
Yeah, he's busy and always active. Just made me think like of him in the laurels, constantly with his leg up or, you know, doing a side stretch.
Doing lunges while he's talking to the old people.
Yeah. But those organic, they don't work as well as the chemicals.
No.
Especially in the summer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think she's got a point and she could say, can you do your spray in the bathroom with the window open? Because I don't like that spray either. But. No. But it's so petty, isn't it? There must be a million things that, well, of course there are, that are annoying
about. But nobody ever says to her, Helen, you're a massive, can you stop, you know, can you stop obsessing about what we all eat? Can you stop doing this? Can you stop? Because Helen must be protected at all times.
Yeah.
But she's allowed to, you know, bowl along, just chucking people left, right and centre. It's people like that that are very... they're often very, dismissive of relationships, or they don't appreciate friendships, and then they moan, and they're rude to people that are really care for them, or are trying to really care for them, and then whinge that they have no friends, and that they're on their own, and blah, blah, blah. And you think, well, how do you think that happened? Have a little think.
Yeah. But they also, they've always had an uneven relationship anyway, haven't they?
Yeah.
And I suppose that's been the problem all along.
In fact, Michael Gorman, the doorman, has said very similar thing. He's headed his email, The Lee Conundrum.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, I know the most important things currently are, one, has Ardil pushed off with the contents of the till? I don't think there were any contents of the till, to be honest. And two, will Oliver evict the tenants of Grange Farm? But I am fascinated by the Lee and Helen relationship. I could not imagine what was keeping him around other than sex. Given their personalities, I'd speculated it was the naughty boy and gym mistress kind, chacun à son goût. Now Helen has told her pal that there is no romance, i.e. sex. Mm. What on earth is Lee doing there? Well, I think Lee is trying to convince himself that not going with his own children to San Francisco was the right thing to do. And if he leaves... then he's going to think, well, I haven't even got Henry and Jack, and haven't got my own children. So he's kind of doggedly sticking it out.
Well, and he can't go to San Fran, can he? Because he hasn't got a...
No.
Could he get... I can't remember if we discussed
it. This is the Archers. Houses appear and disappear.
Yeah, of course. But no, but I think we knew they weren't having sex because... Do you remember when Lee tried it on a few weeks or months ago? And she was like, I just can't... And every time they've had a sort of intimate moment together, it's always ended in her going, I just can't.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Helen. I mean, I do feel so... It's awful, isn't it? She's got this awful, terrible barrier that...
Well, I guess she's herself. She's her own sodding barrier.
But it must have built up as well since... I mean, she's got so much to deal with, but that's the thing. She needs to... I mean, to be honest, if I was them... I mean, well, I suppose it's easy for me to say, but I mean, I think you'd go, it's half term next week. I think we just need to get away.
Mm.
Maybe go get some sunshine if we can. And because that, you know, that does everybody the world of good, especially relationships, Lucy. I don't know if you noticed, but being on holiday is you know, everything is so much better, isn't it? That's what I would do in their situation.
And she just leaps to, no, get out. I was better on my own. Everything is always, I was better on my own.
Yes.
The thing about Helen is that I have sympathy. It's like sympathy. Oh, piss off. I get to this point where, and then it can be like when Lee said, and I'll have a cup of fennel tea waiting for you. I thought, oh, of course. Of course she doesn't even drink normal sodding tea.
That's
of course
so
it has to be fennel tea. And then, no, I'll just sit in the kitchen and read. And I thought, oh, just... go and watch something with him.
That
Stop
was weird.
Being such
I
a
know.
Bloody
I know. It's sort of like, I am so pure and wholesome. I mean, sometimes, Lucy, it's awful. Sometimes she reminds me of me and I think, oh my God, poor Rufus. Because I'm so
But you
horrible.
Know, Linda reminds me of me and I feel like that.
Linda?
Yeah. I would love to be Lillian, and I'm totally not. I'm Linda. I know I am.
Yes, I know. And I would love to be Stella, and I'm definitely Helen.
It's the judgmentalism.
And also, I sort of have to be the one in control.
Right. Okay.
And I just, you know, I'm annoyed if people aren't doing everything that I do, because I do it all perfectly, Lucy. But yes, yeah, she has that sort of holy, although I would never really.
But you're not, I was going to say, you're not judgmental. Well, maybe you are in your head.
I think I probably am a bit in my head.
Oh.
No, not like she is. I mean, no one's like she is. But to go, oh, I'm going to go and read. I mean, that was just pathetic. At least go, do you mind if I go and have a bath? Or I need an early night. It was so mean. Even I would be that
And it's
cruel.
Like, no, I'm so unwilling to share any space with you at all, and your feet and your armpits, that I am going to sit in a cold kitchen reading my book in silence.
But she doesn't know what she... If she makes him go, which, you know, her behaviour will eventually alienate him, she doesn't, you know, like, she's got such a great thing in Lee and she'll never get that again.
Mm.
And it's just, she's got to wake up.
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen, is it? Because Lee is clearly going to be doing more Corrie, I guess, or I don't know. But I think... it's all looking pretty grim, isn't it, for those two?
I was thinking, we're having a bit of a reshuffle at the minute. It's like a cabinet reshuffle, but it's all the partners. Oh. So Helen's going to be single. Lee's going to be single. Krusty, I think, still is because, what's his face? Eric the Viking. Hasn't been mentioned for ages. So do you think Krusty and Lee could get together? And Helen and Alistair?
Oh my God, actually, Helen and Alistair would work quite well.
Yeah.
Because
Alistair's got too much of a sense of humour.
Really?
Yeah, mind you, if he could put up with Shula, he could put up with Helen.
Exactly.
He?
He's had experience with Shula, and he's older, which I think she would like, wouldn't she? Mm-hmm. I think she sort of needs
bit of
some...
a daddy thing.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Well, she couldn't treat Alistair like a 12-year-old boy, which is how she treats Lee.
No, exactly. Mm. And he, although he probably wears links as well, doesn't he, Alistair? I would have thought.
Oh, no, I think.
Do you think he'd wear organic?
Not organic.
No, roll on.
Neil's Yard, roll on, something like that.
No, that doesn't. Well, that works in winter, Lucy, not in summer.
But he's a vet. He's like James Herod. He's always got his shirt off with his hand up a cow.
Yes.
So, you know, he probably doesn't have... he's continually washing everything.
And I suppose his armpits aren't often bared.
No.
Whereas Lee... although you think that Lee, because he's always in a karate kit, he's like got quite a lot of air going into his armpits. So you'd think that would be fine.
But probably at the Laurels, he wears one of those... you know those...
something a bit tight.
Those polo shirts that are like half polyester. The branded ones, you know.
Oh yes, they would. They would the smell wouldn't come out in the wash.
No,
would it?
No.
No. Oh God. No. Oh dear.
Maybe feel.
Also, what is please, Miss? What is balm break?
Balm brack. Do you know? I knew you were going to ask me that, so I looked it up. It's a yeast bread cake. So it's like a fruity bread, bit like a Barra Brith that you get in North Wales. In Wales, and in real life, you put the tokens, whatever they are, the little prizes in. You make it. You don't make individual ones. You make one whole one, and you spread the charms out inside the dough, and then it rises, and then you bake it, and then you cut into it, and whichever slice people get, they cut into it, and then whichever slice they sort of pull out.
Oh, that sounds quite fun.
Yeah, I was thinking of
having
a go
at it. Yeah, I've never heard of it, but that would be great for
fruit bready. But yeasty fruit breads are quite common around.
Do you mean like
a
saurine type of loaf?
No, that's a fruit cake. It's more of a
like bread. It's more like bread.
It's more like a tea bread or a that's more cakey as well.
I don't really know. I'll look it up. But that sounds fun with
bread,
the charms.
Bread with fruit in it.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. I just didn't know what they were talking about and I couldn't be bothered to Google it. So
probably more like a panettone than anything.
Oh, I love a panettone.
Do you? Are you the one person that actually uses your panettone?
Especially the chocolate chip one, which isn't real panettone.
Someone always gives me one for Christmas and we never eat it because everyone sort of likes it, likes looking at it, but they don't eat it. So then I make bread and butter pudding with it and then it's delicious.
Oh, that's clever.
This is quite a disjointed edit because small persons keep belting in and out of Harriet's room. So yes.
It's been a bit of a nightmare, hasn't it?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Yes, so far yes. There's been a lot of pauses probably.
But we were just gossiping in between the one child wrangling the other child out of the room about, because we had a meetup last week. We had a nice lunch together.
And it was so nice. We caught up and then I completely forgot that I had to pick my children up from school.
You just lost track of time.
I lost track of time because, I just suddenly I had 20 minutes to get from town to the school, which is at least an hour away. So no, I pegged it and I was so desperate for the loo. But I managed to hold it in, Lucy, the whole way home. And my lovely neighbour picked them up for me, which was great. And she had a car, so they didn't even have to walk home. So they just
lucky.
They thought it was brilliant. And then they all cried when I went to pick them up from her house. They didn't want to leave.
That's nice.
Yeah, so it was good. But I just couldn't believe it. But it's because time was going so quick, wasn't it? We were having a good catch up.
We were. Setting the world to rights.
Setting the world to rights. Yes. It took me a long time to eat that poke bowl. And
it was the size of your head. It was enormous.
So big. And I just felt so full all day. I still feel full from it. But anyway, it was good. It was good. So, yeah.
What were we talking? Oh, Helen. I think we've exhausted Helen, haven't we? Yes. She's very exhausting.
Ian, we covered, didn't we? Ranting around.
It's just mad.
Well, the whole thing is mad because it is hard to believe that nobody saw no hot water coming. But then I was also thinking, presumably this happens all the time with big hotels. They just don't open on time or...
Yeah.
Although maybe that can't happen because you've got to take bookings, I guess, or... I don't know. It's a bit of a mess.
I don't know
it?
Either, but I think it's kind of nobody was. It's like there are so many legal hoops you have to go through, the health and safety stuff and all that, that it wouldn't have got to this stage without someone going, hang on a minute, this isn't. If it's a cosmetic issue, it's like, oh, that just needs to be painted, then fine. But if it's actually there's something wrong with the boiler and the hot water won't come through the tap, then that is a big thing that requires going back to the sort of dismantling systems and things. So it's kind of a bit unbelievable.
It did make me laugh when Oliver was going, oh, I need a quarter of £1 million. And Eddie was like, oh, have you got some assets and stocks? It was so sweet, wasn't it? He was sort of like really trying to help, but wasn't quite sure. Where do you get that money from? Surely you've got like assets and stocks. I'm surprised. I'm surprised he hasn't got a little sort of nest egg somewhere, but I suppose he's already spent it all on the hotel.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in the shit, isn't he?
He really is.
Sadly, he'll have to sell Grange Farm.
Do you think they'll all leave in? They'll all move in with them,
with Will and the guinea pigs. Oh my god!
And poor old
That was a long...
It was.
Long guinea pig.
Oh, I loved Brad saying, I love having a girlfriend. It makes everything better.
Oh.
And then Georgie saying, right, leave. I've got to do me... got to put my shirt on. Horrible... It was deodorant week,
and
wasn't it?
Teeth.
And horrible deodorant. Yeah. Do me teeth. Yeah.
Oh, so funny. Yeah, that was all good. I thought it was a great week because there was quite a lot of humour,
yeah,
a lot of drama, yeah, and some very touching mementos.
Yes.
So that was good.
Kate Lyle is in shock because she was in a friend's car and Sense and Sensibility came on, the audiobook.
Oh.
And she said, I was just relaxing into it when my childhood crush, Edward Ferrars, came on, played by Rob Titchener.
No!
that's cognitive dissonance, if you like, isn't it?
Oh,
my God.
My God.
How would you... Ooh.
I've always thought Edward Ferrars is actually a bit wet.
Oh, he's useless.
Yeah.
He needs a slap.
Yeah, I just actually think that he got lucky with her and she could have done a lot better. Eleanor could have done better, couldn't she?
Oh, God. Eleanor could have done... All Austin Terriers could have done better staying by themselves. If you look at Darcy... He's a blooming coercive controller. He's an arsehole.
Yeah, but as Lizzie said, he's got Pemberley, hasn't he? Yeah. So she knew what
you
she was
about.
You
can forgive a lot for Stinky Hoon. Yes. Right. Terry Brown has unbelievably come to the defence of Pat Archer.
Oh, bless him.
Mm-hmm. He says, my first time of contacting you, but after listening to your last episode, I could not rest until I offered a defence of Pat Archer, who was universally mobbed for her outburst to the bemused Alan. I admit I found it surprising, but remember that she is experiencing mother's guilt, always simmering, as any mother knows, but considerably amplified as she failed to notice Rob's abuse of Helen. Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
She has been unravelling slowly since Rob reappeared on the scene. She's absolutely my favourite and best character in The Archers. Now that's something you don't
know.
Wow. She's a strong matriarch and has to deal with one, the continually useless Tom. Thank goodness Natasha has arrived to take over the mothering role. Two, Helen. Words fail me to describe how she's dragged Pat through more anxiety-provoking episodes than any mother ought to suffer. Three, Tony. He is my Eeyore. Gloom personified. Pat has supported and boosted him throughout many, many years. Four, ever-growing brood of grandchildren with expectations of providing bed and board on prolonged basis. Babysitting for Helen's boys, plus looking after baby twins for God's sake at the drop of a hat without a demur or grumble. If I were Pat, I would move in with my beloved goats. Hardly a mention of these since she learned to milk them and live happily ever after. So I say, hurrah and huzzah for Pat. She is a good egg.
Yeah, I mean, I will defend Pat too, to a certain degree. But she's definitely not my favourite.
Nope. I think Pat has caused many of the difficulties with which Pat is now dealing. But I think that was caused by John's death, which, as always, was completely hurried through, brushed over. And, you know, I mean, Pat suffered from huge depression after that. And it was Mike Tucker that came round to talk to her about it and got her to take antidepressants and things. So, you know, she was sort of in bed. She was extremely debilitated by depression. And now, you know, you'd think she, of all people, would see the value in talking about things and being open, but she's as bad as Helen at just forcing everybody to do things without actually checking how they're feeling.
Yeah.
Yes. Right, this is Anne Morrison, who says, I've had to stop listening to your podcast in public as it makes me laugh out loud. I listened with interest to the discussion about Adil in this week's episode. I am with Kenton on this, as I think his name is Adil, it's spelt that way in the cast list and episode summaries, and thought that the Ardil was because of people's habit of adding extra R into some words.
Oh, right, yeah.
E.g. water, daughter. Perhaps Kenton not adding an R is because he's actually spent time outside Ambridge and presumably has met people from different cultures. Just a thought. Well, yes, Anne, I think there is...
that could be. I actually did wonder that as well, whether... What did I can't remember how his sister pronounced it, though, because presumably she would be the one with the correct pronunciation.
Yes, oh, God, no, I can't remember either.
Well, presumably she's coming back quite soon anyway, because to sort of tell us where he's gone and probably to take over running
the hotel, because no one else can.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to call him Adil from now on, like Ian did.
Adil.
I haven't seen Adil at all. This is from Terry White, who said, have I got this right? Gay Grables is a couple of weeks away from a grand reopening, and they haven't appointed a head chef yet. or seemingly even opened the job for applications. Does this mean that part of the fallout of Adil's meltdown will be that Ian returns to the job and we're expected to accept such an incompetently bizarre appointment procedure?
Yes.
Well, we've accepted thousands of others incompetently bizarre appointment procedures.
There aren't enough cast members to have a new head chef, so it'll definitely be Ian.
Yeah. This is from Elvis, who says, just wondering if I'm alone in thinking Adil has just done a bunk because he can't take the pressure. I couldn't believe Lindy Bottom and Oliver were sympathising when they read the note and not being outraged at the abandonment.
I know.
The only thing undermining my theory is that the scriptwriters have brought his sister in. I can normally get by with Eddie's lunacy, as the actor grew up on the estate opposite my grandparents. However, naming Lola's companion after the guy from the song who killed her boyfriend, thus driving her to alcoholism, that's a bit odd. Also, I now have visions of the guinea pig in a diamond collar. Still enjoying the awesome podcast as usual. Love, Elvis.
Thanks, Elvis.
I completely agree. I was so surprised. Poor Adil.
Yes, I know. And also,
I was like, what do you mean poor? Loads of people are going to lose their jobs now.
But also so naive still. Because they just thought he'd gone off for the weekend. Yeah. But of course you wouldn't even go off for a weekend 2 weeks before the opening night.
Yeah.
You just wouldn't.
And the big, blubby hell, they milked that finding the letter, didn't they?
Yeah. That
would he not have just stuck it on the pillow? Where they could
just left
like,
it on the kitchen table when he snuck out.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
But all this, who... Ooh, he's taken his pants.
Break.
Ooh, there's a letter. No, it's just money. No, there's a letter. No, just read the sodding letter.
Even the sort of detail of, well, on Tuesdays I do the waste paper bin, so we could go up now. Instead of just immediately bounding up the stairs and banging his door down, going,
your hotel is opening. Yeah. Hurry up.
It was very weird.
Imagine he's in bed, like, what? Oh, I'll come down in a minute. Yeah. Ridiculous. This is from Basil Clement, who says, greetings, dear hearts. I found your discussion about the poshness of Pat very interesting. Her posh, you remember it last week, you said, said, poshest jewel we've ever been to.
Yeah.
Her poshing up, for want of a better phrase, has been a gradual process. When she first appeared, roughly 50 years ago, she had a strong Welsh accent.
What?
By the time I first started listening regularly in 1988, her accent was much softer. Nowadays, no one would know from listening to her that she's Welsh.
Will
the same thing happen to her ghastly daughter-in-law?
Oh my God.
I do hope not, as it will mean that we are condemned to at least another 50 years of Tom's lawful wedded harridan. Keep up the excellent, delightful work. Thank you, Basil. Yes.
I didn't know. I mean, I knew she was Welsh, but I didn't know she had a strong Welsh accent when she arrived. How funny.
Because she was supposed to be a bit of a left-wing firebrand, to do some digging. Wasn't she? Yes. Yeah. Yes, James. We want to
see if
original.
We can get as far back as Greenham Common.
There's lovely Pat.
Tony.
Terry White says, Lee, we've got millions of correspondents called Terry. You're all going to have to separate yourselves out and also declare whether you are a man Terry or a lady Terry, because it's quite difficult to tell. Terry White says, Lee will move to America, close to his girls, and become Mrs. Doubtfire.
That would be awesome. He could pull it off.
Right. Oh dear. Now, do you remember last week? Oh, hang on, let me do the theme tune.
Yeah.
Ready?
Bum ba dum bum bum.
What the L is happening?
What the hell is happening, Kevin?
That was
all right. That does it. I'm not going to stand here and be insulted.
Well, go then.
I will. And before you get another penny out of me, I want to see a full invoice with a detailed breakdown of your cost. And I'll get mine to go through with a fine tooth comb.
Well, you think I'm going to try and cheat you?
Oh, you call yourself a farmer. I wouldn't trust you to run a pet's corner.
Oh, get off my farm.
Oh, don't you worry. I'm going. Scrub calves.
Oh, I loved hearing Angry Vicky.
I know.
Wow, she's such a
I'm going to message Rachel in a minute and go, we just heard you.
Oh, you think she was such a great character.
I know.
Oh, what on earth had they been asking Ed to do?
I remember that, I think. But I'm not going to say it because it is no fun if we get it. It's more fun if other people get it.
At all.
You don't know at all?
No, unless they were getting Ed to make them something. Or don't know.
Okay, do you remember last week's one? It was, I can't play it because I've lost it, it was Usha and Alan.
Yes,
squeaking. It sounded like they were having sexy wages, basically.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, very much remember it.
Do we remember what they were doing?
No. No, you thought maybe they were doing a homeless camp out.
Yes. And it turns out I was right. So hurrah for me.
Well done.
James says, in last week's clip, Alan and Usha were inflating an inflatable mattress in Alan's tent. He was spending the whole of Lent camping out. They were planning to spend the night together, but were interrupted by those kids shouting, which ruined their plan. By the time it was quiet, the mattress had deflated due to a slow puncture, spoiling their plans again.
It's like a sign of their marriage.
Yes, slowly.
That's brilliant. Lent in a tent. I don't remember that, but it sort of rings a bell now.
Yes, that's right. He was sleeping out. And it was to raise awareness of homelessness.
Yeah.
Or refugees or similar. Yes. Good old Alan.
Good old Alan. Oh, bless him.
Right. And now we're going to do the competition.
Competition, competition. It's the competition time. Time.
Is that our jingle?
Yeah. Well, okay.
No.
Working on it.
Okay. So this week, it's the winner gets the bath in a box.
Yes. Lovely.
Yes.
Which Helen needs, actually, doesn't she?
Really? I actually quite liked. I discovered my inner child and was quite happy because they give you pots of pigment to go with it, like beetroot powder and things like that.
What, to rub
that.
On
so,
you?
No. So you could put in the bathwater so it goes a lovely colour.
Oh, that's fun.
And it has. But it has proper, you know, it's sort of good for your skin.
Oh,
beetroot
fun.
Powder and spirulina and all that. Ooh. And it was like a child when you're playing with poster paints, you know, when they're all poster paint powders. It's really nice. I felt like Tony Hart. It's great. Yes, so I have done my usual scrunkly of all the papers. The winner is... I don't know why I'm doing it in a
jar. Yes. It's the best in the box is...
Charlotte Spillane.
Ah, Charlotte
Spillane.
Well done, Charlotte. Congratulations.
Yes. So there is no... So Charlotte, you need to message me, if you don't mind, with your address and your mobile number for the courier.
And send us a photo of you in the... No.
Helen came over all shy and wouldn't send us a photo of her in the watch, but she sent a very nice photo of the watch.
Oh, cool.
So I'll put that on the
tweet. Yes.
So Charlotte, if you could message me your details and mobile number and
brilliant.
The bath in the box will be on its way to you. And
congrats.
We're not going to, because next...
because it's a Patreon. Because we're doing a Patreon.
Yes, next week we're doing a Patreon.
Yeah. Okay.
So... yes, which I will be doing from my new house.
Oh, Lucy. Oh, my God.
Touch wood.
Oh,
yes.
God.
Can
what
you imagine?
Could possibly go wrong?
I've decided...
Are you sure you're going to have your Wi-Fi installed by then?
Yes. Jeff is in charge of that. Oh, I am...
Good luck, Jeff.
...going to... I've decided what my costume... It's not going to be a costume, really, but
okay.
I'm going to do a thing. I'm going to... Ooh. Yes. For because we all have to come. Well, if you want to, you come as a dead Archer's character.
But what? Oh, so you're not doing a costume?
It is a costume.
Is it a prop?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Yeah, because if you don't want to do a costume, you could do a prop.
Yes.
Or nothing at all. You could just be you.
You can just turn your camera off and enjoy everyone else looking ridiculous.
Yes, I think I'll do that. No, of course I won't. I'll make a huge effort.
But it's a Patreon gathering, Halloween Patreon gathering on the 30th of October at 8 o'clock.
Fab. I'll be there.
Good. I hope so. And yes, that's it, I think. So now we are going to cross to... are we? Oh, yes, the Radio Borsage Studios, where Febreze is doing a little bit of meditation.
Radio Borsagshire.
Colin. Do not disturb, please, for next 5 minutes. I am meditate. I am rebalancing myself. Graham has recommended this very good new mindlessness podcast. It is very health to be mindless. So, shush. Now, where is it? Graham sent it. Medicate with Kate Macaroni Aldridge. how to empty your mind completely and become more like me. And play.
Welcome to Medicate. I am Kate Macaroni Aldridge, wellness influencer, guru, and irritant. This meditation will help you break free of the endless cycle of stress, possibly caused by running a business out of a damp tent. Firstly, are you feeling comfortable?
Of course not. I am a gay man in fashion. I haven't fully breathed out since 1989.
Take a moment and make yourself comfortable.
Okay, I will undo one button. Oof. That is all, though. I don't want to make it a habit.
Now, picture your mind as a vast, empty space.
Oh, it is like watching this morning.
It's clean, empty, and full of light. This is your happy place.
No, it isn't. Harvey Nichols with Lorraine Kelly is my happy place.
Now, let's fill it with the things that matter to you.
I shall put Dolce & Gabbana in there. And sushi.
Put in your happy place everything you have to be grateful for in your life. It might be your children, who have travelled a very long way to keep away from you as much as possible. Or it may be your friends or family, who think you're a colossal joke. There's no place for worries in your happy place.
I am worrying about the sushi. Can I have a fridge in my happy place? Otherwise, Dolce or Gabbana might eat warm sushi and get food poison.
How do you feel in your happy place?
Worried. I might have killed two design icons.
Great. Well done. Let's take a deep, relaxing breath.
Okay. Oh, button! Oh no, it is a sign. I have angered Dolce or Gabbana. Where did it go? It is probably under desk. If I get it, Graham can sew it back.
Shake out the tension from your arms and legs.
Ow! Oh! Colin! Colin! I am bleeding on my wheelie chair.
Well done. How do you feel?
Colin! I am concussed.
That's great.
There is wheel on my bleeding chair, Colin.
Now, doesn't that feel better? Give yourself a warm hug. I'll see you next week when we'll work together to help us prioritize our own needs over everyone else's. Namaste.
Radio Borsetshire.
Thank you very much for breathe. Were you doing yoga breathing then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My breath for the whole time.
Yeah, well done. You're a bit purple now. Normally when I do that, when you have to do that breathing in and out of just your nose, then snot comes out, which is
I know. Well, that's the thing. I probably did it into the microphone. It probably sounded disgusting. Shouldn't get too close to the mic with a bit of a cold.
Right.
Medicate.
Right. It's weird. I sort of feel like it felt like a lot happened this week, but really it was, everything was just leading up to what we'd been expecting to happen already.
What you mean, Lee and Helen falling
out?
Yeah,
and finding out that finding out that the hotel thing was a disaster, finding out about that Helen had got fed up with Lee, it was just sort of an inexorable march to what we already knew, wasn't it?
That's what it was. It was a march. It was really energetic.
Yes,
it was. Lots of scene
that's
changes.
True.
It was, there was a lot of humour.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really good week.
Yes.
Really good listen.
Again,
thanks,
it was one of
Tarchers.
Those weeks where I was thinking, ooh, I'll listen at the time that it's on rather than.
Yes. I was really keen to.
Yes.
To actually listen at 7.
Yes. Rob's gone a bit quiet, hasn't he?
He's going to be back, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
I can't remember when his baptism is.
Baptism, honestly.
The baptism of Rob. But yes, it's all still.
Maybe there'll be a horrible incident where they hold him in the font for a long time.
You know, lots of people are saying they're not convinced he is ill.
No. Really? That's elaborate.
Well, maybe it was like one or two.
So he's got his brother, his father, the whole of the staff.
No,
at
no,
the
but
hospital.
As in, could he possibly be exaggerating? No, but Helen was there with the doctor, and the doctor would have said, "Yes, he's on his way out. He's on his way out.
And anyway,
Lee's
I'm not sure
on his way
they
out.
They can keep this storyline going for that." With him lurking in the background like the pantomime baddie,
yes,
you know.
No, exactly. They can't keep it going forever.
Yeah.
No. Do you know what would really annoy Helen? Is if Lee was like, came back one evening and was like, "Helen, I've got something that will really cheer up you and the boys. I got one of Eddie's guinea pigs." Imagine.
Oh, my God. I think it's probably covered with disease, Lee.
She'd
actually
be livid.
Why can you just not think out of...
Thought it would really cheer us up. Like another super fun day. Oh, Lee is, oh God, he puts so much effort into being a good dad. I love him for that.
Yeah.
But she is not going to respect it because you're too good and fun and sweet for her.
That's the problem. If you've, it's sort of like she's only got... Because she's so messed up, her thinking is so confused. She's only got respect for somebody that has no respect for her. And when people try and treat her respectfully and nicely, she dismisses them.
Right.
And it's a situation that a lot of people end up in, a lot of women end up in.
It'd actually be very sweet if Kirsty and Lee got together and brought the boys up.
Yeah. And Helen just went and she could live
Helen.
In a spotless little white house where she cleaned it every day from top to bottom. And
I feel like I've been so horrible to Helen, and it's not her fault, Lucy.
Well,
she's had a tough life.
It maybe I'm not a great believer in this. It's not her fault thing, because lots of people have tough lives and it's a choice. And you either think, I can perpetuate this, or I can stop it and do something different. And I think a lot of people just go, do you know what? I'll just stick to the pattern that was done to me. And yes, because it's a lot easier.
Sad. Yes. Sad it is.
Yes. Right. Now, Matt Rodriguez Payne.
Oh, yay.
Are
yes,
you
I'm looking forward to this.
A Wallace and Gromit fan?
I love Wallace and Gromit so much. That I used to make my own Wallace and Gromits. Of course I did. When they first came out.
How did you do that?
I used to, because I was obsessed with animation.
Oh.
And I almost went to animation college.
Really?
I almost took it. Yeah.
Oh, I suppose, yes, because that combined the art and the voices.
And I used to do the plasticine stuff. So I made loads of little animation films, all sort of Wallace and Gromit inspired. But I don't think they exist anymore, sadly.
Oh.
But they were, you know, they were shit, obviously. But they were fun.
Aardman was probably shit when it started.
Well, the first one was, now when you look at it, you're like, oh, it looks like an A-level student made it. But of course, it was incredible back then, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Yes, exactly.
I mean, they're just so sophisticated now. But
I still think Morph was sophisticated, but there we go. Yeah.
But the humour is amazing, isn't it? The comedy is unbelievable. I love Wallace and Gromit.
Well, Jeff cannot hear any form of brass band music without crying.
Oh.
It acts, I don't know what it is about it, but it acts like...
Yeah,
just,
I love a brass band.
Yeah. Even if it's Christmas carols...
Even if it's Coronation Street.
Well, that's quite mournful, isn't it? Raining. But yes, the thing that always gets me is the miners choirs, you know, the miners, not choirs, the miners bands. Anyway, colliery bands, that's the one. Jeff is going to cry at this and you're going to cheer at this because
Yay.
It is Wallace and Gromit a la The Archers, and I shall play
How
it.
How brilliant.
Now, goodbye, everybody. So we will, there will be a show next week, assuming I pedal hard enough to get the internet and I'm actually there. Which is another issue, and then we'll have the meet up on the Monday.
And on behalf of me and all the listeners, may we wish you a pleasant crossing of the border.
Thank you very much. Pleasure. Passport control waving me leak. Right, ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.